Gospel according to Mark. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 12. The last time when we looked at these verses, I wanted to designate that whole lesson to the calling of the apostles. This is who he was calling. Calling Peter and James and John and Mark and all of his disciples and all of his apostles. But there is a similarity between the calling of the apostles and the calling of any man called to the ministry. And I didn't want to mix the two together. So this week, I'm not trying to change the meaning of this whatsoever. I'm just trying to designate one to one thing and one to the other. And I want to go through this morning and kind of show you those things as we go through these verses. These men were called to the highest office in the church, and they were chosen to complete the full canon of Scripture. A lot of those apostles were not only chosen to be apostles, but they were also set apart to write the New Testament Scriptures. And they were inspired of the Spirit of God as they wrote, and they gave their testimony. This is what we're studying this morning, the book of Mark. And if you'll read it on its title in the Bible, it says the Gospel according to Mark. And this, the Holy Spirit moved in these men, and their own personalities comes out in their writings. After you've studied these a while, you'll be able to tell when you're reading Matthew or when somebody quotes Matthew, whether he tells you or not, because their personalities shine through their writings. But they were chosen to complete the canon of Scripture and also to finish up with the foundation of our faith. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1, down in the last part of the chapter, that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And also they were ushering in the New Testament age. In the Old Testament, there was things, they were under what most of the writers call temple worship. They went to the temple, there was designated feasts, there was a priesthood separated to minister to the people, to minister the things of God. And they went to a certain place. They went to the temple in Jerusalem. And they observed all the ceremonies that were laid down under the law of Moses. And this is how they worship God. You worship God by bringing a sacrifice. And you would watch that priest as he took the sacrifice and he did with it what God commanded him to do. And at the same time, you were being taught what this sacrifice meant. And even though their ideas and understanding of these things were thwarted, to say the least, by the time Christ appeared in this world, and yet this is what Old Testament temple worship is. You had a whole tribe set apart for nothing else but to minister to people. And in the New Testament age, now there is churches that are going to be established, what we call local churches. Now we know the church is God's elect. That's his people. That's his body. That's everybody from Adam all the way to the end of time. That's his church. But in this New Testament age, there are going to be local assemblies who are a part of that church. And so writers have come to call them the local church. This is the assembling together of God's saints as we're assembled here this morning. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The old temple worship and priesthood had served its purpose. And it was being replaced now by the New Testament age. And now men and women would come and be taught by pastor teachers and churches would be established by evangelists who go into foreign lands and preach the gospel. And these apostles were special men who were gifted with special abilities, and their calling was confirmed by God with miracles and wonders and signs. And when I begin to talk to you here in Ephesians 4 about pastors and teachers, I want you to understand there's no need for those signs anymore. We have the complete Word of God. God's already confirmed His Word with miracles and wonders and signs, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. And there's no reason to redo it, reconfirm it. He's already confirmed it. And so it just comes down to this. You either believe God or you don't. You either receive this as the Word of God or you receive it like you would any other book. And you look at it and you take what you want and you leave off what you don't want. But if it's the Word of God, then we better take it all. So these men, God confirmed them with all of these things. And what I want to do this week is to show you some similarities between their calling and the calling of pastors and evangelists. Now here in Ephesians chapter 4, all four offices are mentioned at one time. Look down at verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. And he, that is the same Jesus who called these apostles, but was now ascended up into glory, it says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. And I realize it says pastors and teachers, but he's not talking about two different offices. He's talking about one office, pastor teachers. That's what pastors do. They teach. They teach. And they're all here listed together so that we might understand that the same Lord that called them, that called these prophets, also called the apostles. Or you could put it in reverse. He that was here in Mark chapter 4 calling these apostles was the same. He hadn't appeared yet, but he still existed in glory, the Son of God, and he called those prophets. And the spirit that was sent to him is called plainly over in 1 Peter chapter 1, the Spirit of Christ. Appeared to them, and they wrote about it, wrote about his sufferings and his future appearing. Now here's why these four offices were given by God, and these two are still being maintained. Here's why. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. You mean a man can reach perfection in this world? No, that's not what that's talking about. It's talking about two things. First of all, when he talks about the perfection of the saints, he's talking about the calling out of the full number, the completion of the saints. This world's going to continue to exist because God's long-suffering toward usward, to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And all those he's chosen and made provision for in his Son, made provision for through these offices. He's going to call to himself. He's not going to lose any of them. So that's the first thing he's talking about, is the completion of that number. The second thing, they can't be saved apart from a perfect righteousness and a perfect atonement. This is the perfection he's talking about. And there's only one place to have that perfection, and that is through faith in Christ. Christ is the perfect one. The only way you can have a perfect righteousness is to have Christ, because he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the goal. This law says, here's what you have to do to be accepted. This Christ. He's already done it. He's already done it, and he's our righteousness. And then it tells us this. Here's another reason for these four offices. For the work of the ministry. The calling out of God's elect by the gospel. And also, he tells us, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That you can learn. One fellow told Winston last week, he said, I'm just not sure I understand. I don't understand election. The only way you can approach election is to believe it. You ain't never going to understand it. You're not sovereign. You're not the source of all things. You're not the beginning of all things. You're not the one who's purposed all these things. That's God. And when we start challenging God by saying, you need to explain this to me. You need to, who art thou that replies against God? You're the thing made, not the thing who created it. You're the creature, not the creator. And so we have to be edified. We have to be taught. And I told him, I said, if he ever says that to you again, he said, I know why you don't understand, because there's none that understandeth. That's what nobody does. They think they do, but they don't. It has to be revealed to you. And that revelation comes through the gospel, which brings us back to these four offices. And then in verse 13 it says, and this is how long these things are going to continue. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Basically, we all believe the same thing. That's the unity of the faith. We believe God. We believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what he tells them, preparing them for his leaving this world? He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Calls him his father, said, in my father's house are many mansions. And so all of these offices are going to continue. Everything established by the prophets, everything established by the apostles, and the preaching and teaching of pastor, teachers, and evangelists. It's going to continue on until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now watch this. Unto a perfect man. That's not talking about you walking a perfect life. This is talking about the perfect man. And then he tells us what it is. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the perfect man. Now I'm going to quote another scripture for you over out of Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope of glory. Why? Because he's the perfect man. He's the perfect man. He said, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. There's nothing higher than him. It pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. There's nothing any higher than Christ. If you have Christ, you have everything. Now, here's what I want you to see. All four of these offices work in conjunction with one another. I have nothing to say to you apart from the prophets and the apostles. Is that right? Anything else, just speculation on my part. I have nothing to say. He said, preach the word. That's what Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. Don't preach your ideas and your speculations. Don't preach things that you don't know anything about. Preach the word. Learn, study to show thyself approved, a workman worthy. He's meet for the office. He has ability. God's given him an understanding, and he's able to teach. He can rightly divide the word of God. But apart from the apostles and prophets, I have no idea. I don't have any information on God, do you? That's the only information we have on God is the word of God. The Old Testament prophets set forth a Redeemer, which they'd never seen. Never seen. They were gifted with the Spirit of Christ, and they wrote of Him as they were moved by the Spirit of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He lived 2,000 years, at least 2,000 years after the creation of the world. But when Moses wrote about creation, he wrote about it like he was standing there watching it come to pass. And there's only one way he could have done that, and that is by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. In 1 Peter 1:10, the apostle tells us about the old prophets. He tells us that our salvation, or more particularly, God's salvation, and it calls them to search diligently as they prophesied of this grace that should come unto us. And they searched what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto them, but unto us they did minister the things. What things? Things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. What are we going to preach? I'm going to preach what the prophets foretold. I'm going to preach what the apostles told me that the Old Testament prophets were talking about. That was the purpose of the apostles. They had the revelation of Jesus Christ. They walked with Him. They were personally taught by Him. They were endued with the Spirit of God. And they could take these. Peter stood up at Pentecost and he said, "This is what Joel was talking about." Now, I challenge you to go home in the book of Joel and read what Joel said apart from anything else and see if that's what you get out of it. There's no way you're going to read that scripture and say, "This is what he was talking about." No, but on the day of Pentecost, Peter knew. The Lord told him to go down to Jerusalem and wait there till he'd be endued with power from on high. And so they did. And when they were, then they understood what Jude was talking about. So I don't have to go back. This is the point I'm trying to make. I don't have to go back and read Jude and then wait for some bubble to appear before me so I know what. No, I just read what the apostle said. And I understand because the same Spirit that foretold the Christ that would come and the giving of the Spirit after he ascended into heaven is the same one who understood. You see what I'm saying? So these two offices together, which have completed the Word of God, I can study these things now, and I can report them unto you. And I can teach you from the Word of God. After their purpose was served, the apostles were taken away, so that what we have today is two offices, pastor, teachers, and evangelists. I don't think you'll find the word missionary anywhere in the Scripture. If there's a missionary down there, he's an evangelist. That's what he is. And they're all called by our Lord, enabled by the same Spirit, and all called to the same end. We're called, the ministry that he describes that I read to you a few moments ago, the perfecting of the saints and edifying of the body of Christ, all four of these offices work to that end. The first two have served their purpose. And they're recorded, and we can go back and read them. I don't have to have Moses here to tell me what Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and all that means, because I have the apostles to tell me what it means. All these evangelists and pastor teachers are called of God. They're called of God. And the ministry, though it may appeal to all, and the ministry, we're told, is a good thing to desire. It's a good thing. Young man sits here and he hears the gospel preached, and and he sees things accomplished by the hand of God, and he said, boy, I want to do that. It's a good thing to desire it, but you can't call yourself. You have to be called. They're called. There was a lot of folks who seen the apostles. Man, I want to be an apostle. Problem is, you can't just go be an apostle. You have to be called. Isn't that what Paul said? Called to be an apostle. It's a calling. How shall they preach except they be sent? Now, don't go home and tell folks that your pastor put himself on the same level as an apostle or a prophet. I'm not worthy to loose their shoes from their feet. I'm not worthy to carry the scriptures for them. These were special men. These were great men. These were men used by God in a special way. I'm not saying that at all, but what I am saying is that the same Christ and Lord who called them called me. And if he didn't, then I'm not called. I'm not called. Many a man has decided to be a pastor. He's decided to be an evangelist, only to see it end in disaster. Many a man has set his sights on being a preacher. And so he went off to seminary and Bible college and he got himself a degree. But he was a total failure in the ministry. And many a young man has promoted himself into the ministry by natural gifts and his personality and so on, who become examples of those not called of God. Paul said Demas. At one time he said, Demas, my fellow laborer. He acknowledged him as a preacher and teacher of the gospel. He's my fellow laborer. He works with me. He preaches right beside me. Next thing you know, Paul's saying, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Actually, the last thing a minister of Christ desires is to have a hand in his own calling. I'll wonder the rest of my life if I put my own hand to that, if I promoted myself to this office. In this station, I'll wonder the rest of my life if God really called me. Is my doom awaiting me somewhere? Is that drop off out there that I'm going to fall off of? Is God going to expose me somewhere in time? You, trust me, you don't want to deal with that. You want Him to call you without your hand in it. Then you'll know that you're called of God. And so those called of God, they wait on the Lord. Paul said, I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. He was ordained by God. Called to be an apostle, he said. I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and separated unto the gospel. He just keeps saying it over and over and over. Now, when God calls a man to be a pastor or evangelist, he burns the gospel into his heart. That's the message he preaches. He won't preach anything else. It don't matter. Church gets together and said, that's not enough. We need somebody to knock on doors. We need somebody to build a work. We need somebody to go out and get the children in and get professions of faith and fill the pews. He ain't going to do it. You can send him on down the road. He'll go down the road. He's not going to change his message for anybody or anything. He's going to preach Christ and keep right on preaching Christ until he can't preach him anymore. God doesn't call a man, and then for one reason or another, it don't work out. If it don't work out, God never called him to start with. You can't show me one person in the scriptures that God called to any station, be it an apostle or a prophet or a preacher or an evangelist. You can't show me one in there that ever come to naught. Our Lord prayed about these 12, and he said, of these 12, he said, I've lost none except the one that you purposed to, and it'd been better for him not to have been born. Talking about Judas. When God calls a man, it always works out. Maybe not the way people think it ought to, but it always works out. Why? Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It's without change. God's never going to change. Did you know that's why he calls them stars? Stars don't move, do they? The North Star is still the North Star. If all of your modern equipment and GPSs and all this stuff, if it all come to gone for one reason or another, you out in the middle of the ocean on a ship, you can still take that old thing and sight in that star and navigate that ship. Because that star don't move. He goes where God sends him. Now, if God wants to move him, he can. He can. But he don't move himself. When God calls a man to these stations, he equips him to do the work. He enables him to see into the great mysteries of God. He puts an aptitude in his heart. He puts a desire in his heart to study the Word of God and to know what it means and what it says. He reveals his son in him. That's what Paul said. When it pleased God, he revealed his son in me so that I might preach him among the heathen. Old Brother Barnard, an evangelist from years ago, back in the 40s and 50s, he said a man can't tell what he don't know anymore and he can come back from somewhere he hadn't been. And God arranges his providence around his preachers. He sure does. There's no other way to explain it. He arranges his providence around him and he draws men to him or he sends him to them, one or the other. But he's going to cross their path with his man. Another thing that God does with these pastors and teachers and evangelists and all these men, he attends that man's ministry with his spirit. Just as he did with the apostles and prophets, it's the same spirit. He works in a little different manner today than he did with them, but he still works, and it's the same spirit. What the Spirit of God does, he's God. What he does is always effectual. Always. If he calls a man, he's called. He ain't gonna kick and squirm and get out of it. He's called. It's effectual. It's always effectual. There's nothing in a man to fear, my soul. There's nothing in man to demand a hearing. There's nothing in man to warrant liability or consequences. But if the Holy Ghost be with that man, if God attends his ministry, now there's liabilities and consequences. And now you're not just saying, well, I don't believe him. You're saying God is a liar because God attended his ministry. You reject him, you've rejected God. Now, if we had time, I could show you that over in the other Gospels. Our Lord sent out the 70. And he said to them, he that heareth you, heareth me. You're my ambassadors. You're speaking on my behalf. And to reject that, Paul words it this way, having trodden underfoot the Son of God, and having done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And then John said it this way, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. The record that's recorded, the record that is explained and the record that is declared to you. You've rejected it and you've made God a liar. All right, here's another thing. Pastor, teachers, and evangelists are not only called of God, but they're sent of God. They're sent. How in the world did I wind up in Arkansas? Huh? God sent me. You know how I know that? Because it worked out. Yep. If you ever are called of God into the ministry, there's a few words in there that you're going to keep reading over and over and over and over. And it'll mean more to you than anything else. And it come to pass. And it always does what God purposes, don't it? It always comes to pass. Mark said he sent them forth, and Luke speaks of the 70 and said he sent them forth before his eyes into every city and place, whether he himself would come. When God sends a man, it's a place where he himself intends to be. As John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way of the Lord, so every preacher declares the way and preaches the person and work of Christ, and then he waits for the presence of Christ to do his work. Pastor, do you really believe God sent you? Do you really believe? When you stand up, when I come to church, when I prepare at home in my study, and I come up here to preach, and I stand behind this pulpit, do you really believe God sent you? Do you really believe in your heart that God has directed you here? And that you have his message, and that you're representing him, and you're preaching to his people? Do you really believe that? You really believe that when men call you on the phone and say, could you come over here and preach? And you said, yes, I can. And you go there and preach. You really believe God arranged that in his providence and the same thing taking place? You really believe these meetings are arranged of God and attended by God and men held accountable for what they hear? I do. And if I didn't, I'd go home. Or I'd sit down there and let somebody preach to me. Pastors and evangelists are called to the same end as were the apostles and prophets. And those he calls, he sends. There will always be a providential direction in God's providence for his preachers. Always. Always. Brother Walter Gruber, sent of God down to Yucatan, Mexico. He went down there and I'm going to have to cut this short. He went down there and things wasn't working out real good and they caught all the illnesses and sicknesses that people who are ignorant of that culture is going to get. And he actually got an incurable amoeba germ, and he's been fighting that his whole life. But he's been in Mexico now. He has to be up close to 90. And God has established 40-some churches, native churches, in Yucatan, Mexico, under his hand and under his guidance. I'd say it worked out. It worked out. God used him. And he always does. He just doesn't always do it to the same extent, and he don't always do it in the same fashion. But if he intends to send a man, he intends to go where that man is and attend his ministry. All right, I hope this has been some help to you. Thank you.